Taylor. Okay, folks, we need to quit that in hand and chit chat. Is any policy? So we have a number of chairman's remarks. One on the mention of is that County Dave Taylor got married on Saturday. So I'm sure you all want to wish Mary the very best. So a small token of our respect for the County Taylor. Okay. Then we have a sudden death. I've been asked to send a letter of condolences. It's okay, we can be respectful to the dead if possible. Of Ken Fitzpatrick, formerly of Ardley, our town in Drum, following his son's death in the Dominican Republic, so I'll be sending a letter on behalf of the council to his parents this week. Okay. Except then we have just on my some remarks on the Brexit and obviously the result of the EU referendum is really concerned among businesses and individuals in our district, due to the uncertainty of when the Article 50 will be triggered and the results of negotiations. We hope that as a council will ensure that our interests of our constituents are provided to the members of the Assembly and Executive who we understand will be part of any UK negotiating team. In addition, then, following up on that, there's a big concern that those reports of racist comments and hate crimes in the UK, we hope that we all abhor that that is, has happened, and we hope that it certainly doesn't come into where we are here. Furthermore, on the EU as well, we're disappointed that the joint meeting that we were having with EU top coordinator for infrastructure, Professor Peter Blase, has been cancelled due to the result of the referendum, and this was in relation to the Southern Relief Road. So we're mostly disappointed with that. On Friday just passed, we had a meeting with MPs and MLAs. We'd like to say that after that meeting, we're hoping that we will have twice yearly meetings with the MPs and 3 to 4 times a year with the MLAs to keep closer working relationships throughout the year with them. And plan that the next meeting will be in January, so that will be beneficial. In addition to that, as I'm sure some of you are aware of it, we've had vandalism against some of our new signs. I'm really saddened and appalled by this. These are acts of vandalism, and the welcome signs represent the boundary of our new council and signifies nearly more than down as a region for our visitors. And it's terrible news that up to 6 of them have now been damaged in what has been described as a senseless act of social anti-social behaviour.
Madam Chair.
Then I'm just going to move on.
Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you.
Just one of your comments earlier about Brexit. You said people are concerned. There's also a huge number of people throughout this country who are delighted with the result and seeing great opportunities in it. And I think it would be worthwhile for the council to actually form a committee to sit down and examine the potential benefits and how we can take advantage of them, because there will be huge benefits as a result of leaving the EU in terms of how we administer this council. And we should be really getting on the ball now and being the first in on the act. Thank you.
Okay, that's right. I appreciate the comment. Declarations of interest? Oh, sorry, Barrett, did you want to
Sorry. It was just on the other thing that you raised about the vandalism of signs. Just once again, say how disgusted and appalled that we are a political group and about the damage to the bilingual thing that's blatantly an attack on the Irish language. And just to remind all councillors in the room and everyone present of the responsibility that we all have as community leaders to set a good example and to come out and condemn acts of vandalism and criminal behaviour when they occur. And maybe to suggest that we can come up with some sort of a strategy or an idea of how do we replace the signs if we replace them at all?
Okay, Barra, I actually did a late statement on last week about it because it's just the most annoying and most distressing. And I had people from both sides of the community make contact with me that they weren't happy with it because this is not, we're meant to be the tourism we want to be, inspired to be the tourism destination. And unfortunately, those signs make people think they may not just want to come here, so that's certainly not acceptable to anyone. So,
our group have a meeting on this, and we'll be seeking clarification, not at this meeting, but at future meetings, on the whole code of conduct with regard to hate crimes, and predicting, say, for instance, that a gay person may be attacked if they move into a certain village, or a black person may suffer repercussions if they do X, Y, or Z, or indeed that something might happen happening to an Irish language speaker or an Irish language sign. So we're going to be seeking clarification over the role of counsellors in justification, prediction, or otherwise indicating that hate crimes may actually be acceptable. So just putting that down as a notice from our own group.
Okay, Dougan, I would certainly hope that no one would think that hate crimes are acceptable. Having that, but I appreciate your comment. Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. Picking up on the signage, I and my party totally condemns any attack, vandalism on any council property whatsoever, whether it's signs, whether it's buildings or whatever. It shouldn't happen, because at the end of the day, the people that's going to have to pay for this is the ratepayer. Now, some of us have misgivings. They should be dealt with within a council chamber, they should be dealt with at the meeting that the group that set up the good relations for them. Because some of us maybe don't agree, it doesn't give anybody the right to go out and deface council property. It's wrong. I've said it in the past, even in the old council, when churches and chapels and that were attacked, when graves were desecrated and that. It's wrong. It was wrong then, and it's wrong now, so it is.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Walker. Okay, we'll move then on to
Councillor Park. Sorry, I'll be a brief scan, Chair. I just want to echo the sentiments of what you said there regarding vandalism of the bilingual signs. I have a couple of reports of one on the Valley Ward Road, and really what I just want to say is that I'm very displeased at some of the pejorative statements that have been made. And what I would urge all politicians here tonight is, you know, to show a bit of political leadership at this time of year, and in particular by the use of their language. And obviously I do welcome that political parties will condemn the vandalism of newly erected council bilingual signs, which have been deliberately targeted purely because of bilingual. But I do think politicians, irrespective of political, religious or other affiliation, have a moral public duty to condemn any form of vandalism, and not to be using, as I've said previously, pejorative statements that are giving some people a free will just to go out and vandalise these signs, which after all are meant to promote this area as a tourism hub and a tourism destination area. Thank you, Chair.
Madam Chair, look, somebody raises an issue, every councillor in this room is allowed to speak on it, regardless of what you think, they can take their turn in the queue. Now, don't be starting this out nationalist triumphalist, putting down unionists. Just don't be doing it, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair,
hate crimes were committed when this council insisted on erecting these signs in areas where they were not wanted. That's when the hate crimes were created, Madam Chair. Do you understand that? And there were people like myself who warned that this would be a terrible waste of money to put things up, to put things up where they weren't wanted. I obviously condemn any attack on council property, regardless of where it is. But if, you know, for this sanctimonious attitude, that if somebody, if this was a unionist council by some chance, and the council proposed that there be union flags erected in Cross McGlen Square, they would be taken down because they wouldn't be acceptable to the population of Cross McGlen. I tried to explain that situation in areas like Valley Ward and other areas throughout this district. But no, this council has this triumphalist coat training attitude, use a weaponized Irish language, and want to stuff it down people's throats. And that's what's going on. And that is what's going on, Madam Chair. And then we hear that you're going to spend more thousands of pounds when you can't raise £1,000 for the own
stay in Kilkenny. It is a discriminatory, rotten to the core council, God, Madam Chair.
Okay,
it's disgusting.
Can you kind of remind you that this is a democratic council?
Yes, it is. And that's why I'm allowed to speak on it, whether you want me to speak or not.
Can you please respect that the elected are who they are? No, can we
move on, Councillor Andrew? Thanks very much. First of all, sir, I endorse wholeheartedly your remark that damage to council property is wrong. It's out of order. At the end of the day, it's the ratepayer who's going to pick up the tab for the damage to council property and expect these things and all. But so I've listened to various contributions here in this debate so far, and I think this chamber does a great support. We have a group called the Equality and Diversity Working Group, and it's Councillor Walker has touched on this remark, which is hit on that, sit on the, in that forum and flash it out.
Thank you,
Councillor.
Thank you,
Chair. Chair, very briefly. I welcome the comments from Councillor Walker. I think they're responsible for comments in regards to this. I just think commentary from Henry Riley, that is the language that is spoken of, the fear. That's spoken of hatred in our communities. And if all councillors need to be very mindful of their voices in this chamber, because they have rippling effect in their communities. And they always need to be mindful in regards to any topic that's been discussed. In regards to the investigation, as if that Chief Executive, had the crime numbers been received from the PSNI in regards to this, and are they being investigated as a hate crime?
Chairman, we've reported the damage to the signs. I don't have the crime numbers, but I imagine they're probably available then.
Yeah, it's just, I think that's essential, because we need the resources then for the PSNI to investigate these incidents and follow up investigations. So it's very important to have crime numbers, so we as elected representatives and with the court department, then we can follow up on the investigations in regards to these incidents.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Just another comment on the vandalizing of the signage. I think that some people seem to think that this council have created some kind of a precedent. But if we look at how Scottish Gaelic and Welsh Gaelic are used on the signage in those countries, their Gaelic languages come first on the signs with English flags, although English is in the darker colour. So I think we're just following what is universally accepted as a way of identifying an indigenous language along with the English.
Okay, just final chairperson's remark about the activities of someone or some people at the weekend in Rosever bike trails is absolutely a disgrace and could have led to the death of someone, only they were the acts of vandalism and attempted as what some of the people who take part in those trails would have been could be associated with something called attempted murder is what they've said, because there was wire put up that was invisible to the naked eye, and it was only from the good work of the rangers that was discovered. So well done to the staff on those that gave something, and yes, Councillor.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Now, just on the Rosever bike trails, you know, this council has put a large amount of money and resources into those bike trails. And it's a sad indictment of people's mentality that some people have gone out, spent a considerable period of time erecting stones, erecting logs, and trying to actually harm people who are using those bike trails. I find it, you know, despicable, to be honest. I think it's whoever is involved in it really should look at what they're doing and get ahead of themselves.
Hopefully the publicity that they've got will deter them, because perhaps they didn't realise exactly the damage that they had the potential to cause. Okay, we'll move on. Declarations of interest? Yep. The minutes of the council meeting held on 6th of June. So we'll just do page by page. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Proposed?
Proposed.
And seconded? Any comments? Okay. Action sheet then? So.
Yes, Chair. Just at that meeting, I raised that after the presentation from Rural Service, I was assured they'd get back in contact with me regarding two safety issues. A month later, we're still waiting to get back, so hopefully next month I'll not be saying the same thing again. We live in hope and doubt.
Okay. So perhaps we can send the letter.
Just in terms of the action sheet, most noted there, let me draw members' attention. C-121, 2016, the meeting with the Chief Executive of Libraries NI. That's going to be held this Wednesday at 6 o'clock in Newry. We have made it available to both the Newry DEA councillors, but also the councillors in the wider Newry area, which would use Newry Library. So just remind members of that, the Chief Executive will be there for that meeting. All other items, Chairman, I think, are either underway or completed, Chairman.
Happy enough,
everyone?
Yeah.
Thanks,
Yes, I was going to ask about the meeting with the Minister regarding the A2 trunk road. Never sent. Is there any reply back at all?
No, Chairman, no reply back on that as yet.
Thank you.
As soon as the road comes around, we will advise you of that. So 5 minutes of the annual meeting held on the 1st of June, so 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
Proposed second.
Sure.
And Andrew? Yes, Madam Chair. You'll know that because of issues with future, I wasn't allowed to be nominated to any committees, but the issue that has arisen is that that process that the council operates was meant to retain the original balance of the councillors as elected in May 2014 or 15, whatever it was. Now, that has been skewed because the SDLP should have been an independent nationalist, had taken what should have been my committee places. So in theory, those committee places that were due to me should have went to either DUP or UUP members. So I would ask the council to get the appropriate legal advice on that, because if you look at something like the audit committee, where I had asked the council to consider a small sum of money for the flagship 12 in Kilkeel, not one single unionist or Protestant on that committee. And that does worry me that issues like that are just going to be overlooked because there's no union representation at all. So clearly, and that's one committee that I had intended to take if I hadn't got nominated. So I'd like the council to give that serious consideration. You know, there has to be a degree of balance as the council was originally constituted.
Chairman, as part of legal advice in preparation for the annual general meeting, we took legal advice and senior council opinion on of what we would do regarding the two remaining committees, and the advice was that we begin again with the same party. So we have that legal advice, which I'm happy to share with the member.
Right, Chairman, I would be grateful for that legal advice. In fact, the entire, I know you did give me sections of it, but again, I would like the entire legal advice letter to come from Belfast City Council. Thank you.
Chairman, as I advised you at that point in time, that the legal advice is complicated legal advice referring to number of councillors and with reference to other councillors. I'm happy to let you aside of it, but I can't give you a copy. But I've given you the advice to refer specifically to our council.
Okay, so we're not going to get side of it again, because there are issues apparently raised in other council areas that weren't applied to this council.
Okay, thanks, Riley.
Thank you.
We go on to number 6 then, the minutes of the ERT committee held on the 13th of June. And I would just like to say at the start of this that it's absolutely fantastic. And I would like to welcome the investment that we will be putting into our area with the start of Clean Castle. There's a lot of work been done on that for the last number of years, so it's just good to see that we've been part of that and part of that process. So, page one.
Chairman, just for page one, just a correction is Professor Pocket Clark is a member of that committee. Chairman, so we get that changed.
Okay. Page one, page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, proposed. Second,
Chair, just on page 45, under Beaches, Newcastle, Warren Point,
I know that.
Sorry,
page 8 on the hard copy. Okay. I know that the main thrust of it was a proposal for marine license applications for those beaches, but I know that Councillor Hannah had raised a point about an attractive area for children with an enclosure that they say that the sand would keep the sand from getting washed away and maybe play equipment, something similar to what they have at Port Stewart, which is very, very popular with holidaymakers and day trippers. And it was just that I'm worried that it's going to get lost here. There's no action point, and I just wonder where the appropriate, which committee would be most appropriate to take that forward, because I do feel it would be another dimension to your resource, the like of Newcastle and Cross River, etc.
Sure, I have already received some information on that, and I'll be discussing it with the relevant director to see if we can progress that matter if it is suitable for the location.
Yes, I'm on the page 5 of Heritage Lottery. And I just should just note there that it does allude to the prioritization of applications. But you know, like just for example, Warren Point Municipal Park, that's at quite an advanced stage of application, as you know. And I just noticed that in 2018, you know, we've already dealt with any of the, you know, they don't quite prioritise ones that are in advanced stage or a very advanced stage. I'm asking that the Warm Point Bath, like I mentioned before, that we will start to work on that, prioritise that. That would be a better game plan in the sense that we've already, submitted these other applications. So I'm proposing that we would include Warm Point Bath in it, as we've already spent money in the council. We were looking at various options of how to progress for where we are at with that. You know, that's gone out, you know, that's a public consultation that has been done on that. And I think in 2018 we certainly should be planning to be moving on that. Thank you.
Anyone else have anything? Okay. Item 7. Minutes of the SDNR Committee, June 16th, with page 1, page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, I'm just going to turn for action. Can't see your legs. 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Proposed?
Chair, just 2 points. I was the vice chair of the meeting. Patrick Brown isn't here tonight. He's coming later. I was chair. There were 2 points I'd like to raise. First of all, under the section of Irish language audit, there are 2 issues that have arisen. One was there's an issue about the Irish language policy not including a specific reference to funding for the Irish language, which has resulted in a drop-off for support for the Irish language in council. And I think that's coming back to policy and resources. That's arisen in parallel with this at the meeting. Since the meeting, I think, we referred an issue to the Active and Healthy Committee, which is now coming back to policy and resources. The second item is in the audit itself, in which didn't pick up on the issue of our relationships with organisations like Tourism, NI, the St. Patrick's Centre, etc. And there's another meeting to create an addendum to that report over the summer to pick up on those missing items. And lastly, there's an issue raised by Patrick Brown to my attention in the fact that there was an apparent divergence between the documents on sustainable development that came before the committee and that which actually left the party leaders meeting at the previous part of it, at the time it was discussed at the party leaders meeting in Newry. So we haven't resolved that yet, but I just want to note the fact that we saw that divergence. Thank you very much. Other than that, I'd be recommending acceptance.
Just
on the issue,
on a tour about the decade of the scenery. We're now well into the second half of 2016. Just wonder, can we get any information back about the commemorative artwork to recognise the role of Patrick Rankin in 1916? Have you any update, maybe Liam, on any progress we've made on that particular
Yeah,
maybe get Colin Moffitt, who's leading it from an officer point of view, to pick up on that, Chairman.
Someone give him a microphone.
Yeah, you want to remind me, Colin, you're going to get into that.
Into the list, yeah. Don't think Liam would like to sit in the picture.
Just to say, Councillor, we've gone undertaking the first stage of the assessment process and appointed the 5 shortlisted artists. We've just written out them today to the 15. There was 14 people who applied originally, and we've just written out to the 14 people advising who the 5 selected artists were to come forward. By the end of the week, we'll be circulating a letter to them, looking at when they'll be coming in to present, when there'll be a site meeting, and hopefully then we'll be able to schedule that all during August and then hit the ground running for the production of the new test and approval of those considerations. One of the people, on the assessment panel, we were looking to go with at least one councillor sit on the assessment panel, where the maquettes will be presented to the group of officials on the councillor. So that will hopefully happen before the end of August, and then we go forward with 3 months for the preparation and then positioning, hopefully for December.
Two issues. Just one of them was just what Cadogan was bringing up there, just a couple of queries around how the implementation of the Irish language strategy was going to go about. So I would propose maybe that we come up with a cross party working group to assist officers in the development of an Irish language strategy.
The last second,
all right.
Yeah.
But the second thing was just I was only able to make that meeting. We had a new baby during that time, that week, and I was only able to be in attendance. Therefore, I wasn't there to really put my effort in with regarding the times of the SBNR meeting. Being a teacher, I would never be able to make the same class meetings. We had this last year, and I had sort of appealed to the other members of the committee out there to try and come to an agreement that we could have the meetings at 5. I'm aware that all kinds of can't overturn the decision of a committee, but could I request that it could go back to the committee. And maybe next time round we can put a little crack about it.
Is everyone happy that that's referred back? Yes. Okay, and also wish to congratulate you then on the birthday of Ada. You didn't say it was a biograph?
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you.
I think you really need to just come up to this.
Sorry, Madam.
Sure. I think you just need to
come
up to this. Well, because you couldn't stay elected.
I can't go to any committee, so this is my only option.
That's what I said, you can't go to nominating officers.
Yeah, okay. Madam Chair, I'm very, very concerned that yet again tonight, more obsession with the Irish language. More expenditure, more committees, more bureaucracy, more time to service these committees. But yet, when it's something to do with economic development or getting, something done of practical use for the area, nothing ever proceeds. On the question of the Patrick Rank, where's this money come from? This is totally unbudgeted. We were told it was 30K for the whole memorial. For the whole memorial. Now it's 30K just to commission the artist. And what's the memorial going to cost them? Unbudgeted spend. And yet, we can't get £1,000 for the flagship 12th in Kilkeel. When's this council going to stop this belligerent oppression and bullying of the unionist community? Can you never see past your bigotry? It's just quite incredible. Unbudgeted spend, just pull this money out of the sky and spend it to suit Republicans. But whenever it's stuff to do with the Orange Order or unionism, no, can't be done. It's disgraceful. Yeah. Thank you.
Would you like to reply here? Would you like Mr. Moffat to reply here?
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, at the last SBNR meeting, the council did agree a spend of up to £40,000 within the budget. I do acknowledge that it wasn't voted as far as in the current meetings, but it was approved then at the SBNR meeting and the meeting, which is the adoption of the report tonight. The figures which the Councillor is referring to, £30,000 has been set aside in total for the Patrick Rankin piece of artwork. So there should not be further expenditure in relation to that.
So you're saying that the commission went too far away?
The commission itself is actually for 25,000, and then 5,000 set aside for the works, which was around the siding of it, and also the maquettes, which is half the estimate made up. There are five artists.
Yes. So then, after that, then you pay for whatever design is selected?
No, that's all within the site itself.
So that actually creates a memorial showing right down the road?
It's a public piece of public artwork which we're looking at within the centre of Nairn.
So everything is only going to cost 30,000, the piece of art, everything?
That's what we're working towards, that's the budget that we're working towards.
Okay,
so
we're
our
committee, we've
got
a
portion
of these numbers, you would know that.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, it's on page 12, again, just on grandiose programs, again, on the back of the vote on exit, Brexit. But these four, you see where we have two applications in there. One of them is cross-border thing, and it just has been from the Nick contact with SDBP, and I think it's learned it. There is a lot of talk going around that, you know, we're on these programs there, and we some of them are nothing guaranteed, some are intimated that they may be delayed for 2 years. So can we seek some assurances that the work that we've commenced certainly will be taken into fruition in these applications?
Okay, any questions?
Chairman, on that matter, we did speak with SDBP about a week ago, and we have continued with the application process. We've been told to continue with that on several times as we get further information from the centre. So we're waiting on it, Chairman. We are proceeding with the application for the case 4. We have put the tender in for the Greenway and the Nasura scheme as well. So any application, Chairman, that we have said that we would submit, we are going ahead with all of those on there to get information saying that we should do something.
Well, you know,
Chair, all that we can do is assure you we will be moving ahead with all the applications. It's really a decision for the political side as to what will happen after you leave the EU formally. But the advice at the moment from SDUPD is to proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you,
Chair.
Someone
actually
thought the good was out to clear the air from the room here.
So I'm sorry to cross the floor. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thanks, sir. Sure, just for Councillor Reddy's benefit. This council decided in a democratic way, in democratic fashion, to adopt a bilingual policy. Hence we have our signs both in Gaelica and in English. And if Councillor Reddy wants to change that policy, surely he can then introduce a motion and debate it and discuss it within these chambers. Instead of trying to say that we have adopted a discriminatory attitude towards him and his people. Second thing, he was at the meetings in relation to Patrick Rankin. He knows the amount of money that were talked about at that, and they were all discussed and fully agreed upon. So at that stage, he was attending these meetings, so maybe his memory is gone. But he's just also returned from France, from the Somme. Despite his protestations about discrimination, that, I believe, was fully funded and paid for by this council. So he should be thankful for it.
Jackson,
you're back in again. Yeah, Madam Chair, firstly, I would point out to David Hyland, I'm not thankful to him for anything. Nothing. the Assam trip was agreed, all 11 councils in Northern Ireland went. If you didn't want us to go, all you had to do was say, I would have paid it myself if need be. So don't give me that. And the other issue is, Madam Chair, all our councils throughout Northern Ireland get a lot of money for going to these things, and subsistence and everything else. We don't get any, and we don't ask. We don't ask for it, because we wouldn't lower ourselves to ask this council for anything. But in terms of the public ranking thing, the issue is not of what was agreed that day, it's the issue of money within this financial year. And it was clearly stated that day that there was £40,000 overall for this decade of centenaries this year, which included a Somme commemoration event in September. Now, is that even going to get any funding there, or what's going to happen with it? Because it's only going to be £1,500 or £2,000, I'm told, whereas the Republican movement is £38,000, which is probably pretty typified as council. Not complaining, but we just have to take it on the chin at times that we are second class citizens. You know, that's the way this council operates. We just have to take that on the chin and move on. But in terms of Irish language policy, I did consistently and at all times highlight my concerns, my genuine concerns that the policy that we were following in this council is, number one, it's deterring Protestants from applying for jobs. Every time you look at a new job appointment in this council, it's from somebody from the non-Protestant faith. Every time... Well, Chairman, Madam Chair, I will accept the most recent figures from the Equality Commission in terms of employment in this council. Can you get me those? If you get me those, Madam Chair, I'll withdraw that statement on the grounds that you're going to get me the most recent figures on the levels of Protestant employment in this council. Will you do that for me, Madam Chair?
I'll get you the levels of employment.
No, the levels of breakdown in religious denominations for employees in this council.
You just wanted to know.
I think we're all entitled to get that in any case, Madam Chair.
We can't.
Madam Chair, can I ask the clerk will he answer that question?
Excuse me,
I'm asking the clerk. I'm entitled to receive information from the clerical officer of this council, Chief Clerk.
Chairman, yes, I can provide the breakdown figures from Martin Curtis. We provide the Quality Commission on that. But I think the member needs to withdraw that.
I have already withdrawn on the grounds that I'm getting those figures on a formal basis. No. I'm giving you the reasons why I was concerned about this Irish language policy. It has created cohesion of policies in this council. It has created a cold house for Protestants in this council. That's without a doubt.
To be honest, I think sometimes you're creating a cold house just for an individual, and that's
all you. Yeah. Well, alright, and listen, Madam Chair, I can live with the consequences of what I do, but when it's the fact the ordinary working class Protestant people of this area, whether they're being denied goods and services or employment opportunities, I won't accept that, Madam Chair. I live with the consequences of my actions, but it's the people who I represent who I want to get fair play for, and they're not getting it. They're simply not getting it. There's been runabout South Armagh and Crutleigh and everywhere else, playgrounds and everything else going up. I'm alone, still sitting there with nothing. It's a disgrace. That's just absolutely shameful. Can't even get ward meetings. Can't even get people to sit down and reply to them.
But just move on to Councillor Clark then. Can you switch up the light,
Simon? That's more inflammatory language and inaccurate commentary, which leads into sectarian hatred. And Harry's doing this, and it's just for headlines and papers. But this has consequences in the community, and it increases the likelihood of sectarian that we witness through Chinese. But it could also witness attacks on people. And you need to watch this commentary in regards to that, because they're inaccurate. They're inaccurate. They are inaccurate. Just some clarity, Chair, in regards to... I don't want to cause confusion for people who's planning for the rural development programme. You know, and I want to bring a degree of certainty. That money has been allocated to the executive. So there's no danger of the rural development fund being lost. And I think we need to get that message out and allow people... We're already at a call now for applicants, and we need to bring a sense of security to people in regards to that. And so I just want to clarify that remarks.
Councillor Gore. Yes, I'd like to follow there on what Councillor Parks did. I've sat here for 2 years now, this month, and Henry went on to sit sharing and being bigot and everything else. Like, it's coming now the month of the year when people should be responsible. And Henry is here tonight to have the bonfire, around the bonfires. Henry is happy whenever there's disturbance and sectarian animus happening. At the same time, like,
well, sure, as we go through a prolapse state with Mama Chair,
what?
He is a huge man in James Sartorian Gabriel.
But at the same time,
he's a very happy Mama Chair to see Peppercorns and Cultural. If he goes through a prolapse state with Mama Chair, it would be legal action in this council.
But at the same time, what would you expect from a man in prayer in the back of a UDR Land Rover? Like, that's where it comes from, all the current interest from the things. Thank you.
Can I just remind you, Councillor Riley, you will listen to what I have to say.
Yep,
you can turn your light off. You can turn your light off. Thank you. You continued to talk, and no one took it in and asked you to withdraw your comments until you kept your mouth quiet for at least a millisecond. So you give that guy over there the respect that he gives you, and he didn't jump in on top of you and ask you, so don't put on your light.
Madam Chair, I did not make any aspersions to any individual councillor in this chamber. Now, I want you to accept that. He is saying that I'm the liberty of state neighbours. Madam Chair, and that is a libelous remark, and you can instruct him to withdraw it or not. Are you going to do that? Well, that's all right then. Madam Chair, I want this has been recorded and accurately minuted, I hope. But there will be legal consequences for what this man has done. He's setting me up for attack. And he won't withdraw that remark. He has made individual comments towards me as a councillor in this chamber. I never mentioned any individuals at any time. I am making generalised comments and observations.
Would you like to repeat the statement and then we'll decide if we're going to ask you to withdraw? Would you like to rephrase what you said?
There isn't a mechanism for Councillor Riley if he wants to follow up, and that's the code of conduct. If he wants to make a complaint to the Commissioner, then do it. Get on with it.
So move on, Karen. 8 minutes to
get. Chairman, we need a seconder for recommendation. And also to note the agreement that we're setting up this working group, refer it back to the party leaders and same basis will be set up with the working group. Members are happy enough to add that into it. But the other comments made, we'll take that, Chairman.
Okay. Item
8,
Minister of the Action and Housing Committee. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Proposed. Moving on to item.
Yeah, this is on the affordable. I just noticed a graphic up in the expected survey council to the NA. How's it going on? How's it going? From 2,500. Is it anyway? Can you just throw some light on that? No, I'm not on that committee, but the affordable warm scheme. I see the Department of Communities had an allocation of 15.5 million ring fence, but we're going to be, due to the decrease in the budget, I see it's going to be cut in half. Just put the background out, and is there anything there we can do? Because we know how vital this scheme is at the end of the day to some of the aged.
We'll give Michael a tip
to him. Thank you for mentioning that.
Thank you, Chair.
But it's largely as the councillor has outlined, the budget from the department has been cut by almost 50%, so we'll be doing a lot less of the scheme this year than we have done before. So they've asked us to submit, I think it's 506 applications this year, whereas we would have investigated, I think, over 1,000 houses previously. That is proposed at the moment, so it's not confirmed, so there's still time for us all to lobby to have it reinstated as per last year's level. But as we understand it at this point, that's what's going to happen.
Can you see any other way of, you know, a day to day? I make the presumption that there was a demand there. You know, there was 1,000 cuts, but it is in the whole new council area. You know, and that's a drastic cut. So, one of the other ways that we could look at that. Are we funding, we get the money obviously from the department, and we are funding the outcomes, right? And that's what the big problem is. It's not just the payment of the surveys.
Chair, it's 100% funded, so they're funding the officer time plus all of the surveys. So they're calling all the shots. If they cut the funding, unless the council decides to fill that shortfall during the rates process, we're sort of at their mercy.
Yes, I know. But there may be some other ways of doing this as well.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Item 9, minutes of the RTS committee, has the strength technology. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
Councillor Casey.
No, proposed
time
for
proposal.
Councillor Stokes,
seconded.
Councillor Andrews,
Councillor Casey. Thanks, Chair. A couple of things are raised at the last RTS meeting, and some of them I got vilified for, if I can remember rightly. Is that embarrassed? I thought I was going to leave the room. Page 6, and that's where I raised an issue about a proposed bus down on the Drummond Road. Something I raised a couple of months ago. I raised it again. Just says notice at the top of it. What exactly does that mean? That, you know, disappears into the cardboard room again for now 8 months. That's one. The complaints I made about bin lifting on the Cabra Road at Hilltown. Sorry if anybody's from Hilltown, but the people who raised the issue are former Newry people who raised it with me. Was that sorted? And the last one was damage to not your property, damage to property at Hollywood Gardens. I sent photographs as well about that. Did anybody restart that investigation? Because it was dismissed out of hand the last time.
Chair, I don't have the details on any of those issues. They were brought up. They're now being mentioned, as far as being approved tonight. We'll certainly follow up. I do know that the main Dinsmore did follow up on the Cabra Road stuff, and I believe that was resolved. I can't say for definite. I know that on the night, Joe Park spent some time talking and took a lot of notes and went off to sort out the various issues. So I'm very confident they have been dealt with, but I don't have that detail with me.
Junior, I have a question for Kaiser. Can you maybe sort that overnight for me at our company factory to start being on that one?
Yeah, just two items on it. One is on the building control and the dilapidated change of structures. I see that there was a report, and I think we had to make a submission, I believe. Well, that has included, buildings that are, I'm just giving one example, for example, in Warren Point, Joe Rosford Hotel, where we'll be looking to either use it or lose it, and was that in our submission, was that type of scenario reflected? The second thing I had on was the bus shelters again, maybe we read the charge of it. I noticed there were 8 requests that have been looked at, and there's 30,000 set aside. And I'm sure everyone, a lot of them are, in this operation, went through them. And so I just wonder, is the possibility of having those 8 requests acceded to? Thank you.
The report on the dilapidated buildings was a response to a consultation put out to the department. It wasn't about any specific building at all. So we could certainly get you a copy of that.
That's right. Already, it was, the buildings and trend centres that that are falling part of bringing the whole tone of the place down. Do we like to see them developed? Does that actually allow council to take action, or whatever the proposal will be, or we ask that we can actually take action if we saw fit.
So, certainly the nature of the consultation was to enable us to make it easier for us to take the sorts of actions that we wanted to take with respect to the navigable buildings.
Well, I'd like to get
you a copy of the response.
Yeah, huge. And then just add the bus shelters.
And the bus shelters, yes, the budget is £30,000 for those that were in the earlier part of the report and are progressing. There was a list at the end of the report that is now being actioned, and all the various consultations with Transport NI, etc., will take place. They will then be brought back to the council if they are suitable to be progressed, and at that stage then the committee will have to make a recommendation to come back probably to the PNR for more budget, because there is not budget for those at this point in time.
Yeah, but the payment that the 40th would be for a chance of success then.
But the ones that were strictly reported to on the committee that are ongoing right now will be completed in that 30,000.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, Brian?
Yes, just further from what Councillor McAteer was saying, is there any chance we can get also an update on the dilapidated houses on Harbour Road, Kilkeel? Under the old area, Mourne Council, there was proceeds started to do something about addressing vermin and things that were being attacked around those houses. To do something with the owners at, putting them back into use or demolishing. So if we could have some kind of an update on that, please.
I can certainly get the relevant officer come back to you and give you an update on that. Yes, we'll do that.
Okay, we'll move on then to item 10, consultation and draft programme for government 2016-2021. And Heather's going to pick up on that.
Maybe Chairman, I sort of set the context again. This is sort of new consultation arrangements. FR gives us quite short time to turn this around. So we arranged a workshop. I know Heather's been working with officers across councils and indeed talking to Nilga with it. So just want to pick it up here because it ties in very much with our community planning. And we also did some overview on this year. And we met with the MP and MLA on that.
Thank you, Chair. This is a very, very different approach. I think members are probably aware it's the first time that the executive has taken an outcome-based approach to the programme for government, and it is very, very refreshing. It does provide a platform for really good collaboration across public, private, community, voluntary sectors towards really addressing wellbeing. We had a workshop last week with a number of elected members, and other elected members emailed me in some comments. That has been included in the draft response. I'm going to pick up on some of the highlights because obviously it's 14 pages long. I'm not going to go through everything in a lot of detail. But there are 14 outcomes in the programme itself. They're largely quite vague, and I wouldn't have an issue with them. We can make our own outcomes fit within them quite well. But what we did suggest is we could rationalise, and there's some that do overlap, and could consolidate them into those six, but if we didn't choose to do that, it wouldn't really matter from our point of view. There are 42 indicators. We took the liberty of categorising them by theme. I know that's difficult to read, but certainly left to right, it's your best starting line for full potential, health and active, respectful, safe communities, strong economy, and sustainable environment. And you can see there are only four in health and wellbeing, and there's 14 in strong economy. So we did suggest that possibly look at balancing that off a little bit. And what they haven't done in the document is match them to their outcomes. That's kind of our best guess of doing that. But no real issues with the actual approach. Think of it as a progressive approach. To take R5, those of you who have been involved in our workshops will recognise these are the signs that we've come up with in some of our draft indicators. Now, what we also did was set these alongside the 14 of the programme for government. So as you can see, we don't have a great deal of difficulty in fitting in with those should they choose to go ahead with the 14. But it might be beneficial to show rationalisation from the point of view of setting up performance management framework. And again, a couple of you have emailed me about that. I think it had come up in the NILGA discussions. It would be beneficial if this was rationalised a little bit and that there was a consistent framework across education and health and so on for showing how we monitor things and align how local government is performance management as well. Now, section 4 in the actual draft takes a lot of the local detail that we discussed last week. We talked about a lot of the local issues. We talked about deprivation in our own district. And we talked about how we maximise our own natural resources. And what I've done in section 4 is really look at some of our own statistics around education, well-being and our economy, and look at our dependence on agriculture and construction and the downturn that we've seen, the impact on jobs. Now, one of the things that we did pick up on the next slide, in addressing and improving the well-being of our own district, we're very, very dependent on, at a regional level, those income or money being set aside to invest in our infrastructure, and that includes our road infrastructure, broadband infrastructure and our electric. If you want to invest, or if you're going to set up business in this area, you want to be able to get your raw materials in, your goods out. You want to be able to connect to broadband. If you want to reduce your overheads and connect to sustainable electric supply, you want to be able to connect to the grid, and that isn't possible for all of our businesses. The other thing that we discussed with members last week is the fact that education and schools are very, very much dependent on broadband connectivity. A lot of secondary school kids now have to do a lot of their coursework online. They have to do research online. So you actually impinging educational attainment if you can't actually have broadband connectivity. So these are all things that are outside our control largely, but will impact the health and well-being of our community. So that section 4 can encapsulates that by theme and saying that, okay, we want us to link to our community plan, we want to improve the well-being of our community, but we might be hindered from doing that if the underpinning infrastructure isn't put in place and we don't get support and linkage from the executive to do that. So address it as much as I can to capture that. Just one interesting statistic that is in there is about Murray Morningdown had the second highest number of post-primary enrolments after Belfast, and we are one of the few councils that we're going to see a vast increase in the number of young people in our district. So CCMS actually told me they may have to start and bus kids out of Newry to school because our numbers are increasing so much, and that is not the case in other council areas. Very lastly, this purple box is also included in section 4 on the document, and it does encapsulate some of the projects that, again, we discussed last week, some of the key infrastructure initiatives that we feel should be taken forward and looked at when we're looking at the programme for government, and that when the departments are doing their action plan, that they involve local government in those discussions, so that there is connection between those departmental action plans and the community plans, because if it isn't there, us being successful in delivering our community plan is going to be severely hindered. Overall, Chair, I think the programme for government is a good step in the right direction. This is the last council meeting that we're going to have before the deadline for submission, which is the 22nd of July. So I'm asking for either for approval to submit as it is, or if there's any comments that you want added into that, happy to do that so we can meet the submission date. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think this is an excellent piece of work, and it actually demonstrates that our council here in Newry, Morningdown, are certainly leader with regards to when it comes to community planning. I know that when I talk to some councillors from other council areas, they're certainly not nearly as far ahead as we are here. And from the chief executive down, I think the directors and Heather bought into this and have produced an excellent response here to this draft programme for government, and I think we've set the standard for all the councils to follow and for other councils to follow. It is a new way of working, and I believe it can be a game changer, and I believe that here we'll have constructive and meaningful response from our council point of view, and it does involve, from the government point of view, for it to work properly, it will involve active delivery at local level, and no better people to deliver than local councils, and that's where it's all coming from. So it does align very closely with the programme for government. There's clear synergies, as we can see, and I believe there's an excellent bit of work done condensing the 14 outcomes down to 5 very meaningful outcomes, and we have our own measures below each of those five outcomes. So I think Chrysler is actually, if you're not fully up to speed, I would say take time to read this 14-page document, because it is an excellent synopsis of what, of where we're at this month in time. As regards to the press, I think it's a good news story, and I think that I would like to make a proposal, first of all, that we accept the response, but also that we issue a press release to give to the press an update of where we're at in community planning, because it is the way forward.
That is on the hand. Yeah.
Sorry, I totally agree with what the Vice Chair was saying up there, and I read through, and the responses here are excellent, so they are complimentary to the question. All I would just like to ask very briefly from my work, would the impact of cricket have any bearing on the programme for government now? In your situation. A lot of that money depends on the program for government depends on a lot of that money. And that would make me think that councils, I think you did mention it then, that councils would be involved in the costs on the way forward when they start to go forward. And that's all, it's just a question, just maybe, but I do agree with what the Commission has been here. I do have a congratulation on it, like that, but just that question that I have in mind.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, it is, and although I didn't say it in the presentation, I have actually mentioned Brexit a couple of times and said that we should be involved in any negotiations, particularly because we are a border council and it does impact us, plus obviously the Southern Relief Road has already been mentioned, you know, has had impact and would have impact on projects like that going forward. So I have to, because we are border council dependent on that, that we are involved in those negotiations or any discussions in that regard?
Yes, I'd like to add my voice to the to consensus that it was an exceptionally good presentation and response to the programme for government. I would flag up one minor omission. I know the Chief Executive raised it verbally at the meeting in which the Eastern Distributor Road in Downpatrick is the longest outstanding road. With the exception of the Ballinage bypass, of course, in the history of planning in Northern Ireland. I think you can't beat the Ballinage bypass going back to the time that Faulkner was Prime Minister in Northern Ireland. But aside from that one, the Eastern Distributor Road does need to be there up amongst them. I would also say that we need to think about the transition to non-carbon a non-carbon economy, and I think it's generally accepted that the environment and topology in South Down is can only be matched by that in Donegal, and I think to recognise even before substantial increases to rates last year it was £4,000 of rates per megawatt generated, which would make a very significant boost to our council finances if implemented in an intelligent manner across the district. So I think it's not just the fact that our businesses are suffering by not being able to get access to the grid and having to run diesel generators or broadband, it's also the positive side of it, how we can actually drive our way through into the new economy. And I know that two of the biggest research colleges in the only two research colleges in renewable energy in Northern Ireland are actually based in our area. And I think we just need to bring that out a bit more. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks also to Gareth's lead in, probably on behalf of Councillor, because at the end of the day we've got a very fancy report going forward, following a lot of consultation. And I do think people are consulted out. We've had people that have gone along to strategic days, you know, that each pillar had one, and then the overall one in the canal course and all, taking full days off work and so on. And what we come up with is almost like what we started off with, that and say, okay, we're trying to create the link between the programme for government and our sort of corporate plan going forward, and we're working from the top down and bottom up.
But I do think that, and then we're doing almost duplicating that again for DEA, for all the different quarter. Part of the problem is the same people are going all the time, and I do note a small frustration among some people. What exactly we are doing, and I think maybe I should say at this stage, Chair, I congratulate you and your fellow councillors. I think maybe Willie and Councillor Bourne for graduating from university in community planning. I think we're all going to have to go to university maybe to get our heads around exactly where we're going with all this. And I'm saying that genuinely from a number of people that have fed back over the past couple of weeks, having attended quite a number of consultation exercises, you know, in Newcastle, in Strabane, in Antwerp, and so on. I'm just wondering, are we repeating it and repeating it? You know, the bullet points that the convener on the day had up first thing in the morning, and to figure out that these really what we want to do, are these the targets that we're looking for? I think out of the five of them, there was two words changed at the end of the day, where 60 or 70 people have broken into different sessions and come back and discuss them in depth. I don't want to sound like I'm criticizing the whole thing. I know going forward we really need this type of thing, but it's a big change for a lot of people out there, and there's a lot of people who feel that they're being consulted. I think we'll go back and ask them for another consultation on this subject. We could be disappointed with the numbers that are coming up. Sorry, it just sounds up. But congratulations to you, Freddie and Stephen.
Thank you very much, Mikey. And yes, I'd like to extend my congratulations to Willie, didn't turn up with the graduation. He's too tired to take it to the next graduation. By the way, that was his words, not mine. Who did it? But maybe at some point, Stevie Willie might give us a talk on community planning. Well, no, I might just oversee it. Sitting up here, so kind of crazy, and we're not letting you have a conversation.
Thanks, sir. I have no degrees, but I qualified from the University of Leith, which allowed me to have lots of experience, sir. No, the programme for government mentioned local government about four or five times. I mean, they still foresee a primary role for local government going forward. But the key aspect of it is for the services that they have devolved down to us, and any more that they're likely to devolve down going forward. Someone to give us the money for them. That's the key element. But in the current economic climate and the whole uncertainty over the Brexit vote, we don't know just exactly how the programme for government will factor into the people who really matter, the people out in the state. But we have a key role to play, and I think the response of this council is, after the workshop I had the other day, it's broadly in line with Nilga's response anyway, and Nilga have issued a document as well, the programme for local government. Anybody who hasn't got a copy of it should get it. Dermot's actually one of our key members going forward as well, so get that document and have a read at it, and get Nilga's response as well, because Nilga sees the role of local government as a key element to going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kippy. Item 10B, report then from the workshop held on
28th of June. Just for note, Chairman, again, that's been incorporated into it, Chairman.
Yes. Item 11, consultation on draft gas designation of pipelines order, Northern Ireland 2016. For noting, unless anyone wants to make comments.
Yeah, Chairman, it doesn't seem to affect us, but I ask the members to look at it and want to make comments.
Okay, conference and events. There's a conference on the housing in Northern Ireland, if anyone wants to go with those. It's £210 of tax. If you have a look at it, then maybe make notes to Eileen and find. Yes, thank you.
Sure, it's about the price of it. It's actually a half day conference. Some of us would like to go, but the important thing about it is if we do attend, conference costs are grossly overinflated, and it reflects badly. You see that in the headline of the New Reporter. I mean, I'm a member of NILGA, a member of the NSD, and a few others. I'd say bodies. They attend meetings at this class at a conference. So that overinflates my conference costs, which looks bad on paper, and you know, makes people think that I'm just like a parasite milking off the local government's funds. I draw down the salary and I work hard for it, sir. Anything else is just incidental to me. But I think whoever is devising
how these things are graded or categorised needs to have a look at that. That if I attend an UGA meeting, executive or full members or NAC UGA, full members or executive, that's classed as a conference cost, which it shouldn't actually. That's the legacy from the old legacy council going forward. We want to re-examine that, sir.
In addition to that, Charlie, I suppose everybody here would agree that I don't really think we should be working on the basis of what we attend, what we don't attend, on what the new reporter reports about. If they're going to report it, then the inaccuracies or whatever.
Coming off my work with Charlie again, I think what Charlie's really getting at there was the fact the way that it's split up in the council is a bit makes us scale it out and it sends the wrong message. I mean, a lot of us here allegedly have mobile phones. We don't have our own mobile phones, but you're reading the paper, you think we all own our own mobile, sorry, the defence has owned it and they are paying for it, it's not to get at all. So I think that's going to be easy to take a look at exactly what the information reflects as opposed to what it can be deemed to.
So if anybody does wish to go, need to contact.
If
anyone wants to go, may anyone want to go? Just know that's okay. The AMCI annual seminar 2016, Survival of the Fittest, Ensuring a Future for Local Government Frontline. We'll start. 7th to the 8th of September. Just know that's okay. So, filling up the documents, if everyone's happy, I'll just read out the headlines for them. First one, license for the use of Camel Lake. Two, the license agreement between Newry-Mourne Down District Council and Mohan Funfair. Newry-Mourne Down District Council with Johnson Construction Limited. Two, assisted car purchases for staff. License agreement with Newry-Mourne Down District Council and Neil Cole. License agreement with Northern Ireland Water Limited and Newry-Mourne Down District Council was agreed to land with Belga. And retrospective approval for lease agreement, Southern Group Enterprise Limited and Newry-Mourne Down District Council. Proposed and seconded? Seconded. Thank you very much, folks.
Thank you.